Hi, everyone. I know recently we announced we were going to 2 episodes a week and then 3 episodes a week. But you know what? There are just too many episodes. So we are going to back to 5 episodes a week. Still a reduction from 7, but there were just too many interviews scheduled, and I didn't want to make all the authors wait for too long. So I hope you can keep up with me. Listen to 1 a week as you're on your way to work or on your way home or putting your kids to bed or whatever it is you're doing. Moms don't have time to read books now 5 times a week.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Today's episode has been sponsored by Jay McLaughlin. Jay McLaughlin is a timeless lifestyle brand with incredible style and a spirit of connection. I am obsessed with Jay McLaughlin and have been so honored that they are sponsoring my Zibbyverse tour. It just so happens that the tour goes to so many communities and areas of the country that have Jay McLaughlin stores. And I love that the brand is philanthropic through Jay McLaughlin's local and loyal programming. Host store events to give back to organizations that are meaningful to Jay McLaughlin's local communities. I also love the fact that the clothes are just so chic. They make me feel polished and modern, and the best part is that most of the line comes in fabrics that don't wrinkle. I especially love the dresses, the cashmere sweaters, the other sweaters. You'll see them all over my Instagram. I typically tag at Jay McLaughlin, and so you can check it out. It is absolutely one of my favorite brands, and I am over the moon excited to be working with them. In fact, I want to share the love with all of you. Jay McLaughlin is giving 20% off new customers and listeners of my podcast with special code ZIBBY20, capital Z-I-B-B-Y 20. That's 20% off for new customers and listeners of the podcast with special code capital Z-ZIBBY20. Take advantage of it today. My favorites are this white, open, long cashmere sweater that I've been wearing on every flight that I've taken on this tour. I have a blue with light blue horizontal striped sweater, several dresses I even wore on Good Morning America. Check it out, Jay McLaughlin. Thanks so much. Hi, I'm Zibby Owens, and I am the host of this podcast, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. I am also a newly minted USA Today bestselling author of the novel Blank. I've created a whole community of book lovers around this podcast, a publishing company, reading retreats, a bookstore, and more. Learn more at zibbymedia.com or follow me on social at Zibby Owens or join the community at Zibby Readers. Lisa Grunwald is the author of The Evolution of Annabelle Craig, a novel. I really loved this episode. I loved getting to know Lisa. I felt like we knew each other in a prior life, or I don't even know, but it was great. Lisa is the author of 7 novels, including Time After Time, The Irresistible Henry House, and The Theory of Everything. Along with her husband, former Reuters editor-in-chief Stephen Adler, she edited the anthologies The Marriage Book, Women's Letters, and Letters of the Century. Grunwald is an occasional essayist and runs a side hustle called Procrastination Arts, where she sells the other things she makes with pencils and paper. She lives in New York City. Welcome, Lisa. Thank you so much for coming on Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books to discuss the evolution of Annabelle Craig. Congrats.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really, really pleased to be here.
Oh, it's a joy. So tell listeners what your book is about, if you don't mind.
It's a book about a young woman who's living in a small mountain town in East Tennessee in the 1920s. She's grown up on a strawberry farm with her parents, who are devoted to each other and devoted to her and devoted to the Methodist Church. And it's a very, very happy, beautiful childhood until both her parents die from the flu. And she has to move to a boarding house. She has to get a job. She's only 16. And she thinks nothing great is ever going to happen to her again. She thinks that she will never be loved. And along comes George Craig, a lawyer from another town who's handsome and smart and wonderful and literally sweeps her off her feet into this lovely pond that is in their neighborhood. And he marries her in 3 months. And again, she thinks she's going to have the life that she expected to have, she wanted to have. And then this extraordinary thing happens. The Scopes monkey trial comes to town, and her husband joins the defense, and she and her marriage face trials, and she has to kind of figure out who she is and what she really believes and whether she and her marriage can sustain itself, themselves in the midst of this turmoil. It's kind of a circus that comes to town. You know, books are, you know, either a stranger comes to town or stranger leaves town. This is lots of strangers come to town, and she has to grapple with that.
Well, it's like the original celebrity trial, right? It's like the OJ of the day.
Exactly. And it was called the trial of the century, even though it was only 1925. So it was young. It was early to be calling it that. But one of the most famous participants, William Jennings Bryan, who was the famous three-time presidential candidate and populist hero, called it a duel to the death. And what it was about was whether evolution, the theory of evolution, could be taught in public schools, which is obviously something that's very current today, the question of who decides what gets taught. Mm-hmm. And it became an extraordinary cause, a real flashpoint for people. Courtroom was overflowing with reporters from all over the world, and this was called a duel to the death. And it played out with great drama and a lot of coverage.
Wow. And so how did you find the trial and how did you pick it for the subject of the book?
I'd always been fascinated in the Scopes trial, primarily because of a movie called Inherit the Wind, which was based on a play that came out in 1955. And in the movie, it's set up as this contest between religion and science. And it's very clear. Religion's on one side, science is on the other. Clarence Darrow, who is the most famous lawyer in America at the time, is standing up for science and modernism. William Jennings Bryan is standing up for fundamentalism and for tradition. And so it's, in the movie version, very clear, black and white, right and wrong, yes and no. And in the times we're living in, things being as divisive as they are and as divided as they are, I was looking around. I've written historical novels before, and I was looking for a time in history where families and communities were as divided as they sometimes seem to be now. So I thought the Scopes trial was the perfect metaphor for this. And of course, once I started doing research, which is just about my favorite thing to do, I discovered that, of course, it wasn't as simple as that, and that few things are. And I wanted to create a character who could and would have to experience the complexities of the situation. And the further I got into it, and the more I understood Annabelle as a sort of average, normal, everyday person living in the midst of this epic event, I thought her questions about the complexities would resonate with what I hope are our questions about some of the complexities that are surrounding us.
Well, I mean, good theory. I like it. You never know. I also, by the way, love this cover. I loved your other ones too. I was looking at all of them. But, you know, I feel like with everything, there are some sort of tropes that people use for historical fiction versus contemporary fiction. And this does not fall into that, which I don't know. I just thought it's very cool. Do you love it?
I adore it. I've noticed that with historical fiction, most heads are cut off. You never see faces. You see women from the back. You see women from the neck down. You see women from the waist up. But somehow the women are always turning away from you, presumably so that, I mean, I guess the theory is that you can see yourself in those women. I'd like to think that anyone reading Annabelle will be able to see themselves in this woman, male or female, young or old. She's supposed to represent the part of all of us that looks for something solid and something inside herself that she can really rely on in a world and a marriage that's changing all the time. So I didn't feel I needed to see her from the neck down. Also, the cover's based on an ad at the time for the Kodak girl, who was always wearing black and white stripes and always had a camera around her neck. And Annabelle is a photographer. It just seemed right to try to take off a bit from Kodak and that moment when, you know, among many other modern inventions, being able to walk around with a camera was, you know, pretty cool.
Yeah, like getting a camera on your phone is now cool. So cool that I just actually went and got a regular camera. But anyway.
That's funny. My son did that too.
One of my first internships was at an ad agency and Kodak was my client and I love photography. Oh. And so I got to do all this research on Kodak and the branding and all of that. And so anytime people talk about evolution of different industries, I'm always like, yeah, but like you never would have thought that Kodak wouldn't be the leader forever, right?
They exactly. Were, everything.
Like, why is Kodak not like Coke, right? Coke has evolved. I mean,
exactly. You know. For some of us, that little yellow package of film,
yes,
which for Annabelle is so important, that box of film that she gets from the Robinson's drugstore on Main Street, that first beginning, you'd think that that yellow box would have lasted the same way the Coca-Cola sign has.
Yes.
Funnily enough, there's a faded Coca-Cola sign on a brick wall in Dayton that kind of, it's almost there to say, here's the ghost of what was. But around the corner, I assume they're selling Coke. So, you know, it has lasted.
Wow. My mom is from Dayton, Ohio, but this is Dayton, Tennessee, right? Which I didn't even know existed. So there you go. Who knew?
In my research, I kept, you know, I was doing various searches for Dayton and got really excited at one point that there was this flood and fire in Dayton and realized, no, Ohio, wrong state, wrong part of the country. This is East Tennessee. This is not Dayton, Ohio, and a very, very different place to have grown up.
I mean, the three scholars who remember that fact, probably you could have probably slid it in that it had happened. You know? In a different
place. But I get very.
No, I'm kidding. I know historical novelists. I understand. It's like cheating or something, right? Like,
oh, absolutely. I mean, and I can get carried away. I mean, I wrote a scene at one. There's a scene in the book where she and George are skating on this pond, even though it's Tennessee and usually warm, but it's an unusually cold winter, and they're skating on the pond, and I looked up what skates they would have been using, and I had it in there as, you know, whatever, skates. And I looked at it after I'd written it and thought, no, one fact too many. They really don't need to know the brand of the skate. And you've got to, I mean, it's very tempting to pull yourself back. But the people in this book, most of them are real. So William Jennings Bryan, of course, and Clarence Darrow, and the great but cynical journalist H.L. Mencken all make an appearance. But then most of what happens in the circus around Dayton is real. There really was a monkey that was brought to town named Joe Mendy, who was forced to play piano and wear a suit and smoke a cigar. It's horrible. And there was a guy named Voliva who believed in flat earth theory and said he would give $5,000 to anyone who disproved it. There were preachers. There were signs saying, you know, where will you spend eternity? They were capitalizing on the craze of this. And so even at the drugstore, they were selling something called a simian soda. And one of the other main characters in the book, who is a reporter, is based on a real person, an amazing woman named Nellie Kenyon, who was the first person to get a press pass to the trial because she knew, before anyone knew, what an event it was going to be. There's a man in the book named Howard Bird, who's a pastor, And he leaves his church. I mean, leaves his church because his congregants don't want to have a pastor from New York come and talk about evolution. The congregants don't even want to hear what evolution is. And so he quits on that Sunday and goes away and becomes a carpenter. It's really amazing. So I didn't have to make any of that up because it was all real. The smell of hot dogs on the street and funnel cakes and the craziness of this circus that is the exact opposite of the bucolic, beautiful world that she grows up in, where she says the sky is blue and the mountains are purple and the Bible's true.
Have you sat in on trials before?
No, I haven't. I mean, a long time ago, I attempted jury service and I was summarily dismissed from New York City. Now I have multiple sclerosis. And so I have, unfortunately, can't attend, but I actually would love to. My husband wrote a book about the jury system and I'm fascinated by it. I'm fascinated by trials. And one of the joys of writing this book was putting people in the courtroom and seeing what that was like. I mean, there was one fan in the whole courtroom and it was on the judge's desk. And otherwise, people were using palm leaf fans to try to cool themselves off. But everyone was sweating and people took off their jackets and it was hot and testy. I would have loved to have been there. And actually, it's reenacted every year in Dayton. They have the Dayton trial reenactment. I was just invited to go down there and I would have loved to. I would love to see Dayton, but I actually sent my son as a proxy at one point, and I sent him with a map actually of what old Dayton was like and what Dayton's like now. And I said, this is where Walnut Street is. That's where Annabelle lives. And this is where the courthouse is. Courthouse is still there. Walnut Street's still there. And I said, please walk from this place to that place and tell me how long it would take. He has very long legs. And I said, you know, go slowly. But let me know. So he was kind of my proxy. He took lots of photographs for me. And it was great. I would have loved to have seen it. But, you know, I wouldn't have been seeing it in 1925 anyway, so.
I mean, I could barely get my son to go to the kitchen and get me a glass of water, let alone go to Dayton, Tennessee. I'm like, no, really, you're already getting water. Just like get me one too, please. But anyway, I don't know. Maybe your son needs to coach up my older son.
No, he's just older. And he was in Knoxville anyway. So,
okay.
I mean, right. It's delightful that he did it. But it wasn't quite like a trek from New York City on my behalf. But it was lovely of him to do it anyway.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
P.S. I just did jury duty. You know, you can actually get excused now if you have kids 16 and under. This is like a new thing. But you're not missing anything with the New York City, you know, court system.
Oh, I know.
As you well know.
I know. I remember, you know, sitting there and getting lots and lots of work done.
Yes.
And thinking, oh, please don't call me. Please don't call me. But then, you know, Stephen my husband, did write this book quite a few years back now. And it really, it made the case that this is one of the few places where we can actually exercise our rights as citizens. And the fact that we are constantly trying to find ways to get out of it is really a shame. And I, you know, I have to be out of it. Yeah. But I love the drama of a courtroom. It's rarely, I imagine, as dramatic as it's presented. Even in this case, my sense of this trial came from this movie, Inherit the Wind, where Spencer Tracy is, you know, the great hero, and he scores all these points against Brian, and Brian literally dies on the courtroom floor. None of it happened like that. I mean, some of it happened like that, but it wasn't as dramatic. When I read the transcript, which of course I have, you know, a lot of it is just posturing and procedural and all of the things that aren't dramatic, and the things that are, you know, really stand out. My sense of what a courtroom trial is like is shaped largely by fiction and film and not at all by sitting there and, you know, enduring the reality of it.
That's why you can make it cinematic for the rest of us.
Absolutely.
I love you've mentioned your husband a couple of times, and I love that you two write together and that you're both authors. And I actually have this marriage book.
Really?
I was looking at your website and I was like, oh, I totally have that book. And because I sort things by color, it was very easy for me to find it. So I'm holding up the marriage book, Centuries of Advice, Inspiration, and Cautionary Tales from Adam and Eve to Zoloft, which is so funny. Anyways, so you've been in this room forever.
Oh, that's lovely. It's a great joy to write that, to edit that book, and to, I mean, because it's an anthology, so I can't take credit for having written some of those great things about marriage, but it was an absolute joy. It's such a joy to work with him, and he has had big day jobs, so getting to have little side projects are really wonderful.
And what is your secret to marriage here? You seem very happy. What are some of the secrets we might not know?
Well, I don't know if I have a secret to marriage. I mean, I think number one is you luck out and, you know, you have an instinct and you have no idea what life is going to throw at you and how you're going to deal with it. But there's some instinct and you get lucky. But to the extent that I have any wisdom on the subject, it's just you figure out what your spouse wants, what he or she wants to become, and you help them become that. To the extent that it's humanly possible, you know, you kind of have to decide in advance that you're okay with what your aspirations are. But it's really important that you know it. And actually, Annabelle tries her hardest to help George become what he wants to become. But it turns out that they're not on the same page with what that might look like. And she thinks that they are equal in spirit, which they are, but it turns out doesn't think as well of her as she does of him. That's not exactly an answer to your question, but I think if there is a secret, it's just don't try to change who you love. Just try to help them be the best version of themselves. And by the same time, make sure that they're helping you become the best version of yourself. So far, so good. We've been incredibly lucky.
How long have you been married?
It will be 36 years next April 9th. So In a very short period of time. And it blows our minds constantly because we feel like we just met. No, that's not true. We have two children. We've had two dogs. I've had a lot of health issues. He's had a lot of jobs. We didn't just meet. We have a lot of history. But it is wild how time passes, and it is extraordinary to find ourselves at this point in our lives with two grown children and, you know, dealing with the things we're dealing with. Yeah, we're at one point very, very early on, I talk in my sleep, and at one point very early on, I said, in my sleep, I think we'll go the distance. He's been sort of holding me to that for a long time.
Oh, well, thank God that's what you said. I mean,
yeah, absolutely. You know, at least I didn't call him by another name. Say something completely different. I've, you know, spent 36 years hoping that I don't stumble in my sleep. But to bring it back to Annabelle, she I think she would love to have thought that she would be so lucky. And this epic event puts her and her marriage in peril. And there was nothing to prepare her for what was going to happen. She's loved, you know, living in this little town and the nature and beauty and the proliferation of strawberries and tomatoes and flowers. And she's never had to stop and think, how did they get to be this way? She's never had to think about evolution. And everything changes, and her marriage is one of the things that changes.
I read your article about COVID and how when people in the Atlantic, how when people said, oh, we can't wait to go back or things like that, you were like, well, now you know what it's like. I have MS and this is what it's like to be inside, and how you met people on Zoom and you're like, yeah, oh, this is great. I can like hang out in my living room and now everybody's doing this.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful piece and gave such a window into your life and what it's like sort of navigating the world with MS and all of that. Talk a little, just tell me a little more about that and how it is now and since then and everything.
Well, thanks for saying that about the Atlantic piece. It certainly came from the heart. It was extraordinary that at that moment, a horrible moment in our time when people were dying and everyone was afraid, I was more connected to the world than I had ever been. Not that I'd ever been, because I was only diagnosed about 16 years ago. And my ability to navigate outside this little apartment has diminished as time has gone by. But don't get me wrong, I will still be doing a reading of the evolution book, and I will do my best to get out there, and I try. But for the many, many people who are living with disability, and especially now with so many people with long COVID, which is not dissimilar from some of the symptoms I have, it's hard not to be forgotten, not to feel invisible. And it's essential, I think, to do everything you can to participate in the world. In my case, I get to participate in the world by imagining it, not just the party that's, you know, in the village, but Tennessee in 1925. I'm deeply lucky that the work I do would be at this desk anyway. And I'm deeply lucky that the internet, for all the awful stuff it's brought, and it has brought an awful lot of stuff, has allowed me to journey outside of this place. Nevertheless, when the pandemic was raging and people were saying, oh, let's meet up and we'll have a party. And it was just on screen and I didn't have to get dressed for it. And I didn't have to go downtown. I didn't have to use up energy getting someplace, which is, you know, 80% of it. It was extraordinary. And I felt guilty about the fact that I would miss it, but I knew that I would. I knew that people would get back to their normal lives and they would go to parties and they would go to museums and they would go to the theater. And I do get to the theater sometimes. I go to matinees, but, you know, a lot of this marvelous city I live in is not something I get to experience while everyone has gone back. Not everyone, because there are a lot of us still in this spot, are still in a situation where we wish for that connection. And I don't think it's entirely about having a disability. I think that people are lonely. I mean, I've read this a lot, and that they yearn for connection, and that we're all in our little silos of belief and ideas. But for people with disabilities, I think it can be a particularly narrow world. And I'm lucky to be able to break out of that world, at least in my imagination, with writing. So that's pretty much how it's been. My last novel was about a woman who was she was stuck in one place, in Grand Central Terminal. And I didn't realize until about halfway through writing it that I was writing about myself and that I was writing about, you know, being what it's like to be stuck in one place and how you make a life if you really can't be out and about. So this one's not about that, but it did require some imagination.
Well, I deeply appreciate, and I'm sure everybody else reading your work does, that while you are inside, you are taking us to all sorts of different places and giving us all of these experiences. And it's like magic what you're doing, right? Catching fire, ooh, like all over, you know, just like transforming us. It's really miraculous. So thank you for that.
That is so incredibly touching to hear. And I'm so grateful for that. Thank you. Certainly it's what I try to do. It doesn't always work, but I try.
It works. It's working. Lisa, thank you. It was a delight to meet you. Congratulations on the evolution of Annabelle Craig and all of your work. And I hope to stay in touch.
Thank you so much. It was really a delight.
Me too. Okay. Have a great day.
You too.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. If you love it, please leave a review and follow us on social at Zibby Owens and at Zibby Readers.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.